Father, we just open our hearts to you. We open our hearts to your word that we might hear and receive. I thank you, Lord, for your word and for the Holy Spirit that's in this place. And I thank you, Lord, for your people, your servants. And Father, I pray that you would just do a work in us today as you desire, God, that we would be changed. Lord, help us this morning to reevaluate our priorities, our values, the things that are most important in life. Help us to do that, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Time to reevaluate. I've mentioned a couple of times in the last few weeks how that the current economic situation and crisis in our country has brought about at least one good effect that many, many people are reevaluating their priorities in life and certainly how they spend money, but not only that, also even their very values. Values are really about what is valuable to you. I'll give you a couple of examples. Always telling the truth, even at your own expense, is a great value to have. That should be valuable to us. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and do not sell it. And I'm going to tell you, there are times when it will cost you to tell the truth. And there are times when this old world will try to buy you, buy the truth from you, get you to deceive or just go along with things. But if we really value the truth, that will be a value in our life. You know, to keep yourself sexually pure and remain a virgin until you're married, that is a great value to have. But only those that consider it very valuable will do that. Putting God first in your life is a great value. It is something we do because to know Him is worth more than anything else to us. Now, I want to challenge you today that this is an opportunity for us to re-evaluate. I'm going to give you a simple definition, dictionary definition of the word evaluate. It simply means to determine or fix the value of, to determine the significance, worth, or condition of, usually by careful appraisal and study. To reevaluate, then, is to determine again or reassess the value of something. To reassess the significance, the worth, the condition by careful appraisal and study. And you know, most people seem to set the values of their life just kind of haphazardly. They don't really sit down and give careful thought to it. They certainly don't study it. And I want to encourage you this morning, we need to reassess our values. We need to reevaluate, determine the things that are really important in life and what our priorities should be. Right now, everybody's concerned about the value of the dollar. They talk about it all the time. So maybe we need to reconsider the value of the almighty dollar. One of the values that made this country great is that it is in God we trust. It even says it on our money. And yet it seems that the vast majority of Americans today have put their trust in money. I believe this current economic crisis may help many people return to that value that it is in God we trust, that they realize that the riches of this world are unsure and uncertain, but God is the one we can always count on. And though few would admit it, actions always speak louder than words. I'm telling you, the vast majority of Americans have put their trust in money. Proverbs 11:28 says, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. When you trust in riches, when you trust in money, you're destined for a fall. It'll let you down. You know, money can't buy you health. It can buy you the best health care. But even then, it can't buy you health. Consider the woman from Mark chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood, who for 12 years was sick. And the Bible says that she suffered many things at the hands of the doctors and spent all that she had. And yet she just grew worse. But when she got a hold of Jesus, she was healed. Money can't buy you health. Money can't make you happy. Now, a very wise person once told me, no, money can't make you happy, but it's hard to be happy without it. But you know, that's a very relative statement. What I found is, it's hard to be happy if you don't have enough money to buy the things that you think are really important. I read in the news this week about a woman who, in her divorce settlement, she was to receive $53,000 a week. And she said that that was not enough for her to maintain her current lifestyle. The average American, or the median household income in America in 2007 was $50,000, but she says she can't make it on $53,000 a week. How can that be? Well, I'm telling you, it all has to do with what you think it takes to make you happy. What it takes to make you content. And that's different for every person. Far too often, our contentment is based on a comparison with others. If you compare with those that have a lot, you're always going to feel that somehow you don't have enough. I think I have a really nice house. I mean, I'm not bragging. I'm just bragging on God. I think God has blessed me. I have a really nice house. But now when I go up and I visit a friend in Colleyville who lives in a house that's maybe $1 million, I think, my house is not very nice. It's what you compare to. And now what I want to say to you this morning is that that's part of the problem in our society, is that we're always comparing. We're not supposed to be comparing. We need to realize that God has blessed us, and we should be content. We should be thankful with the things that God has blessed us with, instead of this mindset and this attitude of always comparing with others. Now, there's countless stories many of us could tell of ourselves when we were little and we didn't have a lot, but we didn't know we were poor and we were happy. Marketing and advertising will see to it that you always realize there's things out there that you don't have. There's always going to be that discontent among most people, but it ought not to be that way for God's people. We ought to be content. We ought to realize that God has blessed us. Listen to what Paul says, Philippians 4, 11 and 12. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. He says, I've learned to be content. In other words, it doesn't come natural. It's a learned thing. But you learn to be content. And listen, he's not talking about something that he doesn't like. It's a good thing to be content. You can't be happy as long as you're discontent. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Really? Yes, really. That's what the Bible says. Be content with what you have. Well, that's not the American way. We want more, 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 more. The Bible says, be content with what you have. Now, everybody hear me now. I believe that God blesses His people. And it is a wonderful thing when God blesses you materially with more. But you should be content with what you have. You see, if we're not content with what we have, then we are ungrateful. It is only when we realize that God has blessed us and we're content that we can truly be grateful for the blessings that we already have. Instead of always having the mindset that I can't really be happy, I don't have enough. First Timothy 6, 6 through 8. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, we can take nothing out of it, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Wow. Most of us, it takes a whole lot more than that. He says, if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. Well, I'm glad to see everybody this morning that we all have clothing. And I, for at least from appearances, it seems that we all have food. Some of us have way more than enough. Amen. We're a blessed people. But we need to reevaluate what we do with our money, how we spend it, what are the things that are really important. But more than that, we need to reassess what is really important in our life. It's not a newer, nicer car, a bigger home, or more stuff. No, there are many in our society right now that would be content to even just hang on to what they have. They're worried about losing what they have, trying not to lose their stuff to their creditors. We need to remember that our lives are much more than things. Jesus said in Luke 12, 15, watch out. Here's a word from Jesus for us today. Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. You know, when people list their valuables, that's what they list. They list their possessions that are the most expensive. Those are their valuables. But we need to know what our true valuables are. What are the true values in our life? The things that we should value the most in life. What is really important? And we want to reevaluate, reassess the value of those things in our life. First and foremost, it is to have a relationship with God. To know Him personally and intimately. To know Him as our Father. That ought to be the first and foremost value in our life. The thing that matters the most to us, that which is most valuable to us, is to have a relationship with God. Philippians 3, 7 and 8 says, whatever was to my profit, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things and consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. He says that he considers everything else as rubbish, garbage. The King James uses the word dung. And what he's saying is that in comparison with the greatness, the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, everything else is absolutely worthless to him. You see, that needs to be the value in our life. That which is most valuable to us is God Himself. And everything else is worthless compared to knowing Jesus Christ personally and intimately. And I want to tell you something about that. Paul didn't write these words when he was just a new convert. He says, I want to know Christ. He wrote these words after decades of serving the Lord. And here's what I want to say about that. The more you know Him, the more you realize that everything else is worthless in comparison to knowing Him. If you don't know that that is the most valuable thing in life, you don't know Him yet. As I tell you, the more you know Him, the more you want to know Him, and the more that you realize how valuable, how precious to have a relationship with Almighty God. That value of God being our all in all needs to be evident in our lives. We need to live it. We need to model it every day for our children, for others to see. Patrick Henry, prominent figure of the American Revolution, he's the one that said, give me liberty or give me death. Well, near the end of his life, he made the following statement. He said, I have now bequeathed all my property to my family. There's one more thing I wish I could give them, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. If they had that, and I had not given them a single shilling, then they would have been rich. And if they had not that, and I had given them all the world, they would be poor indeed. We need to consider how important it is to have a relationship with God, how valuable and precious that is. And let me tell you, it doesn't matter if you tell your children that's valuable if you don't show them by the way that you live and the way that you do. And I want to say something about, you know, when we talk about God being valuable and about Him being that is of the greatest worth to us, you see, that English word for worship, it comes from two old words that are just simply worth-ship. It is ascribing worth to God. When we worship God, we are declaring how valuable He is to us. And let me just say this. You worship whatever is the most valuable to you. We need to show our children what is truly most valuable to us. We need to let others see the value of knowing Jesus Christ, of having a personal relationship with God. Consider the price that was paid so that you could have a relationship with God. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. You know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from your empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. No amount of money, not $1 trillion, not the national debt, none of it could buy any of us a relationship with God.
That's the price that was paid.
It took something that was much more
valuable
so that we could have a relationship with God.
The precious blood of Christ.
How valuable and precious it is to have a personal relationship with God. It is with His blood He redeemed us. And notice this, it says, from that empty way of life. So many people in our country right now have been living an empty way of life in spite of all their stuff. No, that real life is found in Jesus Christ. And He redeems us by His own precious blood from that empty way of life. We need to remember that He has redeemed us. We've been bought and paid for. The Bible says you were bought at a price. You are not your own. He bought us with His own precious blood, redeemed us. Now, that means that if you are born again, you belong to God. I like to take care of my stuff, and I justify this attitude I have by I'm being a good steward of the things God has given to me. Although I'm probably a little neurotic about it, you know. If I can't stand it to see somebody not take care of their stuff, you know, or especially to see them not take care of my stuff. But let me tell you this for certain. God takes care of the things that belong to Him. He takes care of His redeemed, of His people. He knows how to take care of you. He knows how to provide for you, how to protect you. And if you're struggling in this time right now that's going on in our country, in our world, I got a word for you from Isaiah 43, verse 1 through 3. The Lord, this is what the Lord says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." You need a Savior. You need a hero, somebody to rescue you. He's your Redeemer. And He says, listen, the waters might be rising. You're not going to go under. It may be getting hot. You feel it getting warm. He says it won't set you ablaze. You're going to be all right. He's your Redeemer. And I tell you, He is worthy of our trust. He's trustworthy. And He's worthy of our worship. He is worthy of being the most valuable thing in our life. If we value Him above all else, it will show in how we spend our time, how we spend our treasure and our talents. We need to reassess just how valuable it is to have a relationship with God. To have a relationship with God all things are possible. We sang that this morning, didn't we? With Him, we know that He will supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. With Him, we can have peace, a peace that passes understanding no matter what's going on in the world around us. You see, what a treasure we have in Him. We also have a treasure in these earthen vessels, these jars of clay. It is Him that lives inside of us by the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of each and every one of us. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 and 8, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. You see, in the midst of all this turmoil and problems that are going on, there is a strength on the inside of us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is not the strength of our own self, but it is the power of God in us. This treasure, He says, in earthen vessels. The Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. In fact, one time He puts it this way, don't you know you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Here is something that is valuable that we should treasure. This treasure in an earthen vessel. It is that God, by His Spirit, lives inside of us. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't disregard Him. Don't take that lightly. Realize that greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. That is something valuable, something that should be treasured in your life, that God, by His Spirit, lives inside of you. Next, we need to reassess the value of the Word of God. Most of us need to value it much higher than what we do. People will pay $40, $60, $100 a month to have cable TV. They'll pay $30, $40 a month to have high-speed internet. And on and on and on, all kinds of forms of entertainment and things that we think we need in our home. But we take for granted the Word of God. I almost think it would be a good thing if we had to pay $100 a month to get to have a Bible. Because then some of us would value it. Then some of us would think it was precious. And if you paid that $100 a month, you'd probably read it. Oh, we bind it in leather and the best quality paper and put gold edging on it. Because it should be valuable. And then we put it on the shelf. Now we need to truly value it. It's not the leather and gold edging that makes it valuable. It's what's written inside it. It is life-giving, life-changing power in these words that we value. This needs to be what we value in life. Hear me this morning, church. We need to make it clear and evident in our lives that the Word of God is what is valuable to us. Not all the forms of worldly entertainment and all the other things that people run after, but the Word of God is what really matters to us. Psalms 119, I'm going to read three different verses from Psalms 119. Verse 72, but the law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Verse 127, because I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold. Verse 162, I rejoice in your promise like one who finds great spoil. I especially like that one because, you know, when the Bible talks about spoil, it is talking about the treasures, the expensive possessions that are left behind by a defeated foe. When an army went in and conquered somebody else, all of the treasures and things that were there were then the spoil. And he mentions here how that when those you get a hold of a promise from God, I rejoice in your promise like one who finds great spoil. We get a hold of a promise from God, we ought to be excited. We ought to realize the value in that promise. We read how that there are these exceeding great and precious promises that are available to us. We ought to be excited about the Word of God. I tell you, it is more valuable than gold and silver, more valuable than anything this world has to offer. And we need to value it as such. Make it a priority in our life. In Psalms 19, verse 7 through 11, listen to these principles from the Word as it declares to us how valuable it is. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. I want you to remember that one. The statutes of the Lord make wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. We show how valuable the Word of God is to us by how we live our lives. By our devotion, by our commitment to read it, to meditate it, and to live by it. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the mocker, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water which yield its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. You see, here's the man that doesn't have anything to worry about, even in a drought, even in the worst of times. It is the man who meditates in the Word of God day and night, who loves the Word of God, doesn't listen to the counsel of the world, but instead he meditates on the Word of God. He values the Word of God. That man is going to prosper. That man is going to bring forth his fruit in his season. See, we need to read the Word of God every day. We need to make time for prayer every day. We need to be disciplined about our devotional life and our involvement in church. That needs to be of value to us. We're living in somewhat of a health craze in our world right now, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing for the Christian to take care of their body, the temple of the Holy Spirit, amen? I mean, you should take care of yourself, and I think it's somewhat foolish to mistreat your body and abuse it all the time and then be asking God to heal you every day. And we need to be wise. We need to take care of our bodies. And, you know, we need to eat right and exercise when we can. We need to do those kinds of things. And it has a little bit of value. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. For almost the last 20 years, I've been pretty faithful to exercise and work out. Been pretty dedicated to do that. But it only has a little bit of value. You see, what is much more valuable than the health craze and taking care of your body is taking care of your inner man. It's having time for prayer and to study the Bible and to go to church and worship regularly and be involved in the work of God. You see, you got to take care of your spirit man. We spend all this time and effort and energy and money taking care of the outside. I just hate to see somebody let themselves go. Now, you know, we say that usually we're talking about the outside, that they're letting their appearance go. But how much worse to let your spirit go, to just not take care of yourself spiritually? We need to realize the things that are really valuable in life is God Himself and His Word, the Holy Spirit in our lives, and having the privilege of prayer and being able to spend time in His presence. Well, I didn't give you the verse. It's 1 Timothy 4:8. Physical training is of some value. Some translations say little value. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both this present life and the life to come. See, all of that health craze, it has a little bit of value, but godliness has value for all things, not just in this life, but in the life to come. So we need to realize what's really important. Take care of the inside. Another great valuable that comes from the Word of God, and we read this a minute ago, is wisdom. What a need there is right now in our society for wisdom. Not earthly wisdom, not man's wisdom, but God's wisdom. The wisdom that we get from God through His Word, and as He speaks to our heart, that He imparts wisdom to us, we need that kind of wisdom. Listen to these verses from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. We're talking returns here, all right? We're talking about getting the most back. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. Now listen to the promises for the one who gets wisdom. See, wisdom is valuable. We need to realize this. We're living in a world that just kind of throws caution to the wind, and, you know, foolishness is kind of the theme of the day. But listen to the promises, to the blessings that are available for those that get wisdom. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Now, we don't value the money, but when we value wisdom, riches and honor. I especially like the next verse. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Wow. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. One more verse about wisdom is Proverbs 16:16. How much better to get wisdom and gold, wisdom than gold, to choose understanding than silver. Another great valuable in our life should be our family. Now, I've seen some zealous soul winners go out to win the world and lose their own family. That ought not to be. Church, we all ought to be soul winners, and we ought to start with our own house. Amen? I like that promise from Acts. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your household will be saved. And I just want to encourage you that we need to realize the value and how precious family is. Our loved ones, they are priceless. When my kids were little bitty, I was just obsessed with watching over them, because they were, you know, I treated them like they were a bag full of $10 million. They were worth way more than $10 million. And I just watched over them like a hawk. We did. Because we realized how precious and valuable they were. And I just want to encourage you that your family is one of the most precious, valuable possessions that God has given you in this world and in this life. But a lot of people in our society neglect and disregard, even ignore their family because of their career, their pursuit of things, and many times even their hobby. Their family takes a back seat to everything else. And let me tell you something. It's not what you say is valuable. It's how you spend your time, treasure, and talent that says what's really valuable to you. We need to reevaluate, reassess our values and say, my family is important. I'm going to take care of my family. I'm going to spend time with my kids. There's never been anybody who on their deathbed said, I wish that I would have spent more time at work instead of with my kids. But there have been a lot of people who wish they would have spent more time with their kids when it's too late. You just got a short time with them. So I encourage you to value your children. Don't just put up with them, but cherish them. Enjoy them. I want to encourage every married person to value your spouse. Husbands, we can't get around this one. Proverbs 31, 10 and 11. If you have a godly wife, listen to this. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. We're talking about value here, all right? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. If you've got a godly wife, you don't lack anything of value. You've been blessed. How valuable. We should value our church family, our spiritual family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. One of the things that I don't like about current church culture is that we have done away with, for the most part, the habit of calling one another brother and sister. We consider it to be outdated. It's just not cool. It's old-fashioned. But I'll tell you why I like it. It's because it's not just a matter of culture. It's a matter of Bible. And all through the New Testament, Paul refers to others as brothers. And what we've lost is that feeling of real spiritual family. Thank you, sister. Where we just, you know, people can come and go at church and don't think anything about it. They can take or leave the church. There's no real family unity and feeling there. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. We have the same Father. We've been born of the same Spirit, washed in the same blood. We really are family. And I don't know that it's necessary that we call one another brother and sister, but we need to have that as a value in our life, that our spiritual family is important. Listen, Jesus said, when his mother and brothers were calling for him, he said, these are my mother and brother and sisters, these that obey the will of God. And we need to realize how important our spiritual family is. Some devalue the church, see no need for a relationship with other believers. I want to remind you, the church is not a building, it's people. Too many see the church as just a man-made, organized religion. But Jesus is the one that established the church, and he said, I will build my church. And Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. So this is the value that Jesus puts on the church, that he gave himself for it. Because the church are those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And if Jesus gave himself for the church and puts that kind of value on it, we should value the church. We should realize how precious it is. Ephesians 1 tells us that the church is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Listen, the church is the body of Christ today. So how believers can devalue the church and put it on such a low level that it's not even a priority, not even important in their life, I don't understand. The church is his body. It is the ones that he gave himself to redeem. Church is where We love one another. We encourage one another. We confess our faults one to another and pray for one another that we may be healed. You say, well, I don't see those things happening. Well, you need to start doing them. Come on now. Be the church. Church, we need to do those things. It's where we face life together. We help one another. We stand by one another. We take care of one another. You know, in that early church, when they went through times of great difficulty financially, it tells us that many people sold their lands and houses and brought the money to take care of the needs of others. Now, don't start sweating and getting all nervous. I'm not telling you that we're going to have you sell your house. Listen, nobody made them do it either. It was just something that God did. But here's the only point I want to make out of that, is that that's what church is where we help one another. We love one another and take care of one another. And how that we've moved away from that, it is because people have devalued the church as something that's unimportant, not a priority in their life. You know, I just hear this attitude of from our society that, well, you know, I got a relationship with God. I don't need to be down there with the hypocrites down there at the church. I tell you, church, that mentality has done so much harm in the body of Christ and hindering what God wants to do in the world today. He works through His church. Last thing I'm going to say about it. The church is the only thing down here that's going up there. It is people that are apart. Now, you know, I know I'm speaking of the universal church of Jesus Christ, but it is His church. We need to realize how valuable it is. We've got a common enemy, the devil. We've got a common purpose to go and make disciples. We got a common end that we are going to spend eternity together with Him. Another great value in our life, a great valuable, should be the purpose and the call of God upon our lives. Obviously, we're not all called to full-time vocational ministry, but every single one of us, God has a purpose for your life. God has a call on your life. There is nobody that He just purposed for you to do nothing. No, every one of us, there is something that God wants you to do. There are ministries and things He wants you to be involved in. Ephesians 2:10 says we were created for good works that God has before ordained that we should walk in them. There are things that you're supposed to fulfill that you, as an individual, things that you're supposed to do. And here's what the devil does. He devalues that. He tries to make you think that your part is unimportant. Now, I want you to understand that there is so much more to ministry and to a church than what happens on the platform. That's just one little bitty part. And if all those other things, the inner workings of the church and each one doing their part, if those things don't happen, let me tell you, the wheels come off. It takes all of us together. And especially for us to be effective in doing what God wants us to do, we have to answer that call, fulfill the purpose of God. And you need to realize how valuable that is in your life, that you don't just disregard it. And again, like we've done some other things, too often people just kind of put it on the back burner because of their career and their hobby and their leisure time. That's something that can just be put aside. No, it's too valuable for that. Hebrews 11:24 through 26 tells us by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, I know most of you are familiar with the story, but I just want to make the point that, you know, Moses growing up in Pharaoh's household, this was better than growing up and your dad's president. I mean, in fact, that doesn't even compare. He wasn't there 4 years. I mean, he grew up in Pharaoh's household, and Pharaoh ruled with absolute power of the greatest country in the world at that time. And Moses grew up in this household with all of this money and fame and power. But he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses fulfilled the purpose of God in his life. He served God, and God used him to be a deliverer for his people. I just want to make a quick point here. Moses chose to serve God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for just a short time. Many people trade away the call of God, the purpose of God in their life, for the pleasure of sin, just to do their thing, just to do what they want to do for a short time. How sad. But when Moses turned down the treasures of Egypt, it wasn't just money. It was the fame, the power, the prestige of Egypt. And he turned it all down because he considered serving God of greater value. All of the treasures, the power, the prestige of Egypt, all of the wealth, the fame and the glory, but he considered it more valuable to serve God. I want to challenge you and encourage you today. Make it a priority. Make it a value in your life that you want to live your life for something that really matters in eternity. We work for God because we realize the value of eternal souls. Whenever we work for God, we need to realize that we have a reward. You know, that was Moses was looking forward to a reward. We need to realize that we have a reward. And whether you are the person that leads someone in a sinner's prayer or not, you need to realize that what you are doing has an impact on eternity. That what is most valuable, listen, is that we see lives changed. I can honestly say that all of the money, all of the wealth of this world does not compare with seeing one life changed for eternity. Just to see one person who was bound for hell and destruction, and now they have the life of God in them, and they're going to live eternally with God. That's worth more than all the money of this world. And we know that. We know that an eternal soul is worth more than stuff. And yet, I think we need to reevaluate, reassess our values and our choices. Valuables. Now, we could add a lot of things onto this list as we go through the Word of God. But here's the short list. God Himself. A treasure that we have in these earthen vessels and the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. The Word of God. Wisdom. Family and loved ones. Our church. The call and purpose of God in our life. And eternal souls. Valuables. Stand with me and let's pray.